This is Kevin Burke from the Department of Kinesiology, Leisure, and Sports Sciences at East Tennessee State University. Thanks for joining us. I appreciate all you listeners out there for Burke on Mayberry. I'm already getting some good feedback early into this podcast. I want to tell you that I really appreciate hearing from you what the Andy Griffith Show has meant to you and what things you've derived from the Andy Griffith Show, or just what simply you enjoy from watching tags. A lot of the information I'm going to share with you throughout these podcasts comes from a couple of books, and some will be personal knowledge and things I've gone on websites as well. But if you want to read what I consider somewhat academic book, and I don't mean it's only for people in academics, but it gives you a more thorough background into the making of the show with interviews with the people who are involved with the show, and really an interesting book, and it's been published and revised. It's called The Andy Griffith Show by Richard Kelly, and I'd highly recommend that book. It gives you a lot of good behind-the-scenes stuff that you might not find anywhere else. There's a lot of other good Andy Griffith Show books out there. Jim Clark, who originated the Andy Griffith Show Rerun Watchers Club, has a couple of books out there that I'd recommend. You can find all of these on the Andy Griffith Show Rerun Watchers website or Amazon, any of the other stores. But one of the books that I'm going to be utilizing is called The Definitive Andy Griffith Show Reference. And one of the reasons I like this, and it's by Dale Robson and David Fernandez, is it gives you a very good summary of the episodes and tells you who wrote them and the air dates, as well as, you know, again, gives you some tidbits I think you're going to find interesting. Again, there are numerous other books out there related to Andy Griffith Show, and I highly recommend, if you really enjoy the show and want to get a little bit more detailed information, that you maybe look into that. Which brings us to the very first Andy Griffith Show. This particular show is entitled The New Housekeeper. Now, it aired on October 3rd, 1960. It's the very first episode, again, not counting the pilot that appeared on The Danny Thomas Show or Make Room for Daddy. But The New Housekeeper was written by Jack Ellison and Charles Stewart. It was directed by Sheldon Leonard. And many of you have watched a lot of good television recognize the name Eldon Leonard. What happened in this episode is that Rose, Andy's housekeeper, is marrying Wilbur Pine. Now, that's not a name that you hear anymore throughout the episode, because basically that character's gone after that. But Wilbur Pine was played by Frank Ferguson. Most of you would know him better as the grocer Charlie Foley, and he's appeared in some later episodes. But again, Rose is marrying Wilbur Pine, and Opie is really upset about this. He really loved Rose and didn't want her to leave. So one of the things that he was really trying to do was to figure out a way to keep Aunt Rose around. And it's a funny opening scene in the courthouse there with Andy trying to do the ceremony. And one of the interesting things about this is one of the few times you see Andy actually serve as Justice of the Peace. You may remember on the pilot episode, he was the Sheriff, Justice of the Peace, and the newspaper editor. Well, once they went to the show, you really didn't see the other two roles. He remained just the Sheriff. Another thing that you'll find interesting is that Andy was, and many of the characters were talking much more country, deep Southern accents. And by the end of the first season, you'll notice that most of those accents, particularly by Andy and Barney, and even Aunt Bea, are no longer there. But in this opening episode, Andy's doing the marriage ceremony, and Opie basically keeps interrupting because he doesn't want Rose to get married. Another thing interesting I find about this episode is one of the few, maybe the only time that you hear Barney and Andy call each other cousin, because that's really not mentioned that much. And the joke is Barney saying he wanted people to be aware that Andy hired him because he was a highly skilled deputy, not because he was a cousin. But again, it's one of the few times that's mentioned. Another thing that's fun to me about this episode is Andy's trying to get Opie to kiss Aunt Bea when she arrives on the scene. And he says, give her some sugar. And I grew up in North Carolina, and I know that that's what my family and many of the people around us would say when they're trying to usually get a kid to kiss a relative, say, give them some sugar, or give me some sugar. So again, that's really a Southern type of term that's used quite a bit. But anyway, Opie gets really frustrated with this situation. Aunt Bea comes to town. Andy tries to tell Opie to be open-minded, that Aunt Bea had raised Andy when he was a child. But Opie wasn't going to have any of that. And it all came to fruition a little bit later when Opie asked for Andy's permission to run away from home. And this is a cute scene. And one of the things I like about this scene is this really starts to show how Andy's going to deal with people on these episodes. And again, this first show really established how people care about each other, and that's something that was really important to the cast and crew of the Andy Griffith Show. But anyway, Opie asks Andy's permission to run away from home, and rather than say no, you can't or you can't do that, Andy just sort of says okay. And so Andy says, well, if you're going to run away from home, what you need to do is leave a note. And Opie looks really puzzled, and Andy says, what's wrong, Opie? And he says, well, I can't write, which is real humorous. So Andy sits down and writes a letter. He basically words it saying, okay, I'm running away from home, I'll never see you again, or something to that effect. And then that's when Opie realizes what he's doing could be a permanent thing, and asks Andy to rip up the letter and forget about it, that he's going to stay here because he wants to see his pa, you know, for the rest of his life. So again, a cute way in which Andy let Opie make his own decision. And again, what you find throughout the Andy Griffith Show is Andy uses reasoning and doesn't really try to force himself on other people. Helps people to make the right decisions. Another thing that I find very interesting about this episode is you can already tell Opie is an excellent actor. I've heard Don Knotts say that he felt that Ron Howard was the best child actor he's ever seen. And I'll be honest with you, I've not seen another one better than Ron Howard. There's some good ones out there and have been over the years. But again, Ron Howard's role as Opie was really just unbelievable for a young kid of that age. And you may or may not know, we'll talk about later, Ron Howard's father, Rance Howard, was on the set many times and appeared in several of the episodes. And so did Ron Howard's brother, who also appears in movies. And I've already mentioned that one other time. So again, it's a very funny episode. Later on, to try to get Opie to like Aunt B, Andy takes Opie and Aunt B out to hit some balls with the baseball bat, and you may remember that Aunt B holds the bat upside down and Opie just shakes his head like she can't do this. And then they go fishing, and Aunt B's sitting on the bank with Opie and Andy, and Aunt B's holding her pole up in the air and doesn't even have her bait in the water. And Opie asks, how could she catch fish with her baits not even being in the water? And Andy tells Opie, says, oh, well, she likes the challenge of making the fish jump up out of the water to get the bait. So again, Andy was trying to cover, and it gives, what happens is Opie basically is not going to accept Aunt B. She walks in on him saying a prayer, and Opie doesn't include Aunt B. And probably the final straw is when Opie goes in his room and realizes that his bird Dickie is missing, and Aunt B had cleaned the cage and forgot to close the door, and that pretty much was the straw that broke the camel's back. So early in the morning, Aunt B is leaving, and Andy and Aunt B are out near the truck, and they talk a little bit, and they're getting ready to go, and Opie, who had pretended he was asleep when they came in to take one last look at him, sees them through the bedroom window talking out in the yard and realizes that he needs to give Aunt B a chance, and it's cute. He runs down to Aunt B and says, I want her to stay, I want her to stay. And Andy says, well, why do you want her to stay? And he says, well, Aunt B really needs Opie, is what Opie said. So we need to teach her important things like how to hunt frogs and how to play baseball and how to fish. And so it ends on a nice note. And you may know, a lot of the television shows today have cut out these, but they would usually go to a commercial at the end of the show and come back, and there'd be a little bit more of the episode, a tag, so to speak, onto the end of the episode. And on this particular episode, I always like it when you hear Andy singing, but Andy singing, you get a line, I get a pole, and Opie joins in on one word there. But again, there's just one of those nice front porch scenes, which we will talk about more of why those scenes came into existence a little bit later. So again, this was the very first episode of the official Andy Griffith Show. I wanted to tell you a few things about, and we'll have these kind of notes throughout the year, I shouldn't say the year, but throughout these episodes, tell you a little bit of some of the backstage information. You know, the Andy Griffith Show was filmed in California, and many of the exterior shots were in a place called 40 Acres in Culver City. And what they had to do is be very careful to find spots that suggested that it could be in North Carolina. And again, in Richard Kelly's book, he can tell you the exact location where they shot the opening sequence to the Andy Griffith Show, where Andy and Opie's walking out to the lake, and Andy stops and picks up, Opie stops, picks up a rock and throws it in the lake. And as Opie grew throughout the years, they had to reshoot that sequence. So again, a little interesting tidbit of information. If you haven't noticed this before, the Andy Griffith Show was filmed in something called one-camera comedy. What happens nowadays in many of the episodes of television, they will use three cameras and have different angles, and things can be shot in different ways. But in one camera comedy, the Andy Griffith Show would have to redo scenes over and over. And I don't mean redo because they messed up, but they may do a scene, for example, of Barney and Andy talking, and the camera would be focusing on Andy and Andy's reaction to what Barney's saying. Well, the actors would have to do that scene over again, this time with the camera focusing on Barney and what he's saying and his reactions to what Andy's saying. And so then they would have to go back and put this together so it made logical sense. Also, because of this, you couldn't film the show in front of an audience. And again, Andy and Jack Dodson, this is all mentioned in Richard Kelly's book, talks about how they thought one-camera comedy was really the best way to film sitcoms. Again, so they would have to film a lot of things out of sequence. So if they started out by the lake, Myers Lake, for example, then went to the courthouse, and then had another scene at Myers Lake at the end of the show, they would film all the Myers Lake at one time, so they wouldn't have to pick up and go back there. So again, that tells you, you know, the actors had to pretend things that already happened that really hadn't yet when they were doing some of the filming. Again, an interesting way to look at it. Andy Griffith and some of the other characters felt that if you use three-camera comedy, that it really destroyed what was going on. Now, some people can argue with that. I'm not an expert on that, so I'm not going to argue the point there. I think Andy Griffith knows enough to know how to do things. One of the things that is talked about in the book is how not utilizing an audience, they believe, helped the show. And, you know, if you've watched Andy Griffith, you know and that there's laugh tracks used. And all you have to do is, there's certain episodes that came out on DVD. I believe it's season 4 or season 3. Then, by the way, if you bought those episodes, you can go online, find information about how to get those with the laugh tracks added back in. They left the laugh tracks out. And if you watch them, you'll feel something's odd about this because you don't hear the laughter there. But again, one of the problems they felt in filming in front of an audience is you couldn't do the one-camera comedy. The main thing they didn't like about that is when you have an audience there, you play to the audience, and something that may be funny to the audience may not be funny to the people who are watching at home at television. And that's a very interesting way to look at it. So the Andy Griffith Show was filmed without an audience, and they were filmed trying to think of what the viewer would like and what the viewer would enjoy. So that's something we really want to keep in mind. You may not want to get that much into the production of Andy Griffith Show and just sit back and enjoy, but it's something to think about. One other thing I want to mention is how the scripts came about. You've always heard that Andy Griffith had a heavy hand in the scripts and making changes, but one of the things that they did that was unique is that on Thursdays, the entire company, and this means the major players in the show, cast and crew, would sit down and they would read two scripts. One script was going to be shot next week, and the one which they had examined the previous week and were getting ready to shoot. And they would throw in things and really focus on character. They didn't want to just tell a bunch of jokes. They wanted the comedy to be focused and come from the characters. And so they reworked a lot of that. And they said basically that Andy Griffith, while it was a painstaking process, really wanted to take charge and make sure that Barney would say things that Barney would say. And Barney, Don Knotts, would have a say in what he felt he should say, and so would Howard McNair and what Floyd would say. So again, it shows you that you had a whole cast and crew there who were able to work together. So once they did that on Thursday, on Friday the company would get together and they would scrutinize the script that they saw the previous week, and then they'd rehearse it on Monday and Tuesday, and then they would film it on Wednesday. So again, you know, in a filming would take long because they have to do different shots two or three different times, and there are very few errors on Andy Griffith Show, but we'll talk about later how you can tell that when they went back and edited some of this, they may have left not picked up on something. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. You can find some incongruities there in the show, but, you know, nothing major, obviously. So, again, those are a little bit of how the production of the Andy Griffith Show came about. Now, let's go with our trivia question. And again, these trivia questions aren't going to necessarily just have to do with the episode we just discussed, but they're going to talk about really any aspect of the Andy Griffith Show. And I've got a good one here that I hope you'll be able to figure out. And it's a multiple-choice question. And again, I'll post the answer to on my website at burkeonmayberry.com. The question is, why does Andy like Floyd to cut his hair before lunch? I'll say that again. Why does Andy like Floyd to cut his hair before lunch? Answer A, the shop is empty. Answer B, Floyd may have onions for lunch. Answer C, he isn't jittery from the coffee. And answer D, Floyd is awake. So again, those are your four choices. A, the shop is empty. B, Floyd may have onions for lunch. And C, he isn't jittery from coffee. D, Floyd is awake. So if you would like to take a guess at that, or have some comments or other suggestions, or want to share your memories of Andy Griffith Show with me, please email me at burkek@etsu.edu. I appreciate you listening to Burke on Mayberry, and as they would say in Mayberry, my best to you and yours.